Well, if a guy's got any preach in him, he should be able to preach after a morning like this already, hasn't he? And some of you may not be acquainted of who I am and what I'm like. And so if you were here Thursday night at Celebrate Recovery, you would have seen me in all of my rare form. And it's exciting to be here on Sunday morning after a great week last week. And so this morning, I am really thrilled to be able to talk to you a little bit about the uniqueness of faith. And as we said a moment ago, Moses is dead, and this young man's in charge of things now, and there's a huge amount of work to do. And God's going to use this young man, Joshua, in a unique way, and there are going to be some amazing things that take place. And we hope that we can parse it out for you this morning, and that it will be an encouragement to you, because really, in the end, this is very personal. When you really take and the Word of God and read it, it's going to have some kind of a personal effect on you. And that's what we hope will happen as you take notes, either on a piece of paper or as you take notes in your mind. It is our prayer that before we finish here in the next 20 or 30 minutes, that something special takes place in your life. I mean, why come here if there's going to be something special take place? And so when you take your notes, I hope you'll do more than write down a few brief things that I will give for you to put in your outline. But that as we go through each one of those points, that you can put down something about yourself there in those notes. And that it's not just some academic exercise about, well, Joshua this and the walls that, and, you know, Rahab this and the spies that. But you will find this irresistible urge to write down something about yourself as we go through this message. But it all comes as a result of something that stimulates us. And of course, that is the Word of God. So I'd like to ask you to stand once more just briefly, and we will read from the Word of God out of the book of Hebrews. And it goes like this. You see it there on the screen. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. So there is our story. Let's pray over it. Father in heaven, what a unique collection of words and concepts and events here in just a few sentences. And it is our prayer that we can be thoroughly acquainted with Joshua and the Battle of Jericho and some of the things that are associated with this woman named Rahab, who was a prostitute. And Father, that truly, as we have already said, our lives can be permanently changed this morning as a result of this study. Bless each one. Help them to relax. Help them, Lord, to concentrate and focus on what's going on this morning, especially as it relates to their own life. May your Spirit move among us in a special and a mighty way. We ask this in the name of your precious Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. And so we're going to take a look at a unique set of circumstances, as we've said, in relating to the fallen walls and this fallen woman. And it all takes place in the land of Palestine. We'll show you a map of that later on. But before we take a look at the details this morning, I want to talk about the word unique for just a moment. You see, the word unique is a word that has direct bearing on the ultimate outcome of this message. You see, really, it's about your uniqueness that we're going to talk about here in the end. Now, the derivation or the root of the word is found in the French and the Latin, for whatever that's worth this morning. You know generally what unique means. By definition, it carries the idea of something unparalleled, sort of in a class by itself, something that is incomparable are ways that we can define it. If you go and study the field of mathematics and physics and logic, the word unique is described, is used to describe certain particulars in regards to those scientific fields. In relation to the animal world, as humans, we are like animals, aren't we, in the sense that we have natural appetites and we have a physical body. But we are uniquely like God with a relationship and responsibility over this vast creation that we find ourselves. And then when we think about ourselves, you know, as individuals, we are unique, aren't we? We're unique by shape. I have a certain shape that I manifest to you this morning. And I look out there at you and I see a wide variety of shapes here this morning. You know, we're unique, aren't we? I go to the gym 3 times a week down at Gold's Gym and I try to shape up. You know, it's important because I look in the mirror and I say, I am unique, you know. My wife caught me looking in the mirror the other day at my muscles and boy, did we ever have a laugh. It was really funny. And but you go to the gym and you see people in various shapes, don't you? You see people that are, sometimes they refer to them as meatheads. Those are those guys that have big, giant grapefruit-like deltoids, and then they have a chest like 2 big giant dinner plates, you know. And I mean, they walk around. There's one bald-headed guy there. He must be at least as old as I am. He wears these real short shorts and these real tight shirt, you know, and he wears this big old belt, you know, and he's got these real special looking shoes and he walks around like this, you know. And I thought, man, I don't know if I'll ever make it, but I sure like to see that guy walking around like that, you know. Then there's a gentleman, and I'm so proud of this man. He's in a wheelchair, and he comes in his wheelchair, and he goes back through the dressing room, and then he goes out of the dressing room to the pool. And he rolls his wheelchair right up to the side of the pool, and then he very gingerly and carefully slides out of that wheelchair right down into the water and just starts swimming back and forth up and down that pool. He's kind of a large guy, but you know what? He's trying to get in shape, isn't he? He's unique. He's a unique guy. The big guy is unique, and the guy that slides off in the pool out of his wheelchair is unique. So I think it's very important that we embrace our uniqueness. We're unique by shape. We're unique by intellect, aren't we? We're unique by background. We're unique by personality. All of us have a certain uniqueness about us that I want to encourage you to embrace this morning, because ultimately God wants to link that to faith. And He wants to speak to you in a unique way this morning about how that your faith walk can look a lot different than it does up to this point. And so in light of these stories before us, and in consideration of our own uniqueness, I want to make a proposition to you this morning. And my proposition to you this morning is that through faith in God, we can discover more about our own unique world. That's the proposition, discovering more about our own unique world. Now, the probability of this discovery is enhanced by the study of the miracles associated with Joshua and Rahab. And so, let's take a look at them this morning. First of all, and this will be part of your first right fill in the blank on your outline, and that is discovering faith in the natural world. Discovering faith in the natural world. We'll read 2 scriptures here, Joshua 6:1 and also Hebrews 11:30. And Joshua 6:1 says, "Now Jericho was shut up inside and outside because of the people of Israel. None went out and none came in." And then over in Hebrews, in the New Testament, by faith, the walls of Jericho Jericho fell after the people marched around them for 7 days. So let's look for a moment here at the fallen walls. And that's your next fill in the blank there. This phrase is a gateway, by the way, to discovering and broadening a greater understanding about your own unique world of faith. More about that later, but first, let's lay some groundwork about how that this idea of fallen walls fits us individually. To begin with, Moses, the leader of Israel, as we have mentioned prior to Joshua, informed the Israelites about this upcoming battle of Jericho and the ensuing battles in other cities that takes place. And this is found in Deuteronomy chapter 9 and verse number 1. And in Deuteronomy 9 verse 1, it says this, "Hear, O Israel, you are to cross over the Jordan today to go in to dispossess nations greater and mightier than you, cities great and fortified up to heaven." Up to heaven. That's the hyperbole there in that situation. Now, God, there's a point we can make here real quickly, and that is God will never ask you to develop your own unique expression of faith without giving you the power to show it in the world in which we live. That's what he's saying here. You can apply that to your life. As the Holy Spirit moves and works inside of you, you can say, "Can I do it? Can I do it? Can I do what God's asking me to do? Or no, I can't do it." I'm here to say, on the basis of the Word of God, you can do anything that God asks you to do. And so let's look and see what happens here. And that is, the land of Palestine is the place under question this morning. And so the land of Palestine, you can see just a brief drawing here of this land. You see Jerusalem there, not too far from it is the city of Jericho. The Israelites started out on the east side of the Jordan River. And then miraculously, if you know the story, God parted the waters and hundreds of thousands of Israelites marched across the Jordan River. And then they were poised there at the site of Jericho. And I'm telling you, my friends, when they came up to Jericho, they saw a formidable obstacle in front of them. Just briefly, the obstacle was the walls of the city, and we'll mention them here briefly. And the next slide will show you a little bit about that. The retaining wall there in the lower right-hand side was something like 12 to 15 feet high, and then 6 feet thick mud brick wall about 20 to 26 high. And then at the upper portion there, you see it is some 46 feet high from the ground level. That's what we're talking about here in this city of Jericho. I mean, it's one hugely fortified place. Now, inside the city of Jericho is about 6 or 8 acres there, or about one third the size of this piece of property here that South Hills sits on. In that area, that 6 to 8 acre area, there were something like 1,200 people that lived there within the confines. But the thickness of that wall, you saw how thick they were. There were also people that lived inside the wall. Now, there is a lot of debate about how the walls fell after the Israelites frightened the people by repeatedly marching around the city. Can you imagine 400,000 or 500,000 people marching around your city every day? Oh my, wow. I mean, that's an amazing thing. And then on that 7th day, when the trumpets were blown and the people shouted and the walls came down. Now, there's all kinds of debate about the walls. Some people say the walls fell inward toward the people. Some people say, no, they didn't fall inward. They fell outward. And then some people say, no, they didn't fall inward or outward. They just fell straight down. But my friends, it really doesn't make any difference how they fell, because the book of Hebrews settles it. The book of Hebrews says, by faith, they fell. That's all that matters today. And as Einstein said, the rest are details. And so we won't worry about the details, okay? And so, to reinforce your growing understanding about your unique world of faith, we share another miracle in the natural world, and it too is associated with Joshua. I thought you might find this interesting. It's found in the book of Joshua, chapter number 10. Joshua chapter number 10 in verses 12 through 14. And here's what they say. The word of the Lord, I've got a different version here for my notes, so I'll read this one off the screen. At that time, Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord gave the Amorites over to the sons of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, look at this. Sun, stand still at Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun did what? It stood still, and the moon did what? It stopped, it says. How long? Until the nation took vengeance on their enemies, the word says. The next slide talks about this as well. It says, is this not written in the book of Jasher? The sun stopped in the midst of heaven and did not hurry to set for about a whole day. There has been no day like it before or since when the Lord heeded the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Joshua 10, verses 12 through 14. So my friends, today we see this unusual or unique man named Joshua, and God is using him in a special way. He has so much faith in God that he can speak and God will do what he says. Now, I want you to engraft that into your soul, and that is, God is standing ready to use you in some unique way like you never before imagined. Now, groundwork is being laid for that to take place in your life. And so there are several lessons that we see in these miracles. One of them is to take action, and that is to consciously choose to commit. In Celebrate Recovery, that's part of step number 3, and that is when we find ourselves powerless over our addictions and our compulsive behaviors and our lives have become unmanageable, and we see that there is a power greater than us that can lead us into sanity, then we respond, and that is, I choose to commit. And my friends, Joshua wasn't a wishy-washy general. He says, I am going to do what God told me to do. I'm going to make a commitment. And friends, that's the challenge for you this morning when it comes to searching out your unique form of faith. Are you ready to commit? But then there's another part that goes with that. Are you willing to commit when God tells you what He'd like for you to do? And so when we need to take action and we need to move progressively, they didn't walk around the walls of Jericho one time, did they? They didn't walk around the walls of Jericho two times, did they? They didn't walk around the walls of Jericho three times, did they? They walked around the walls of Jericho 6 days in a row, 7 times on the seventh. I'm telling you here that if you're going to find your unique expression of faith, you've got to be willing and ready to make a commitment, and then you have got to move progressively forward in seeing that expression takes place in your life. And it says this, you need to be consistent in what you're doing. And so, friends, this morning, God is bringing us along here a little bit. And as we talk about the natural world this morning, I want to say this to you. And that is, there's not a sun, there's not a planet, there's not a moon, there's not a galaxy that can stand in the way of God creating a path for your unique expression of faith. There is not an ocean, there's not a lake, there's not a pond, there's not a river, there's not a stream that can impede the advancement of your unique expression of faith. There's not a wall, there's not a roof, there's not a floor, there's not a superstructure of any kind that can thwart the building of your unique expression of faith. There's not a hurt, there's not a habit, there's not a hang-up that can not be overcome when you ask God to do something unique with you and through you. You are unique this morning. I want to encourage you to embrace your uniqueness. And as children of God, we have the unique privilege to live out the injunction of Habakkuk when he says there, the just shall live by his faith. There it is for us this morning. I don't know what wall you're facing today, but I know this, that if God can supernaturally break down the massive walls of Jericho, if he can suspend the moon and the sun for a time, he can bring down the walls that are in your life this morning. It is a unique opportunity for you to leave a legacy, even possibly on your tombstone, that says, by faith he did this. And friends, that's what I want to encourage you to do. And that is, in your mind, through the power of the Holy Spirit and through the stimulus of the Word of God, that you can exclaim with your lips and you can feel it in your heart and understand it with your mind. And that is, I'm going to do something for God, but I'm going to do it not in the energy of my flesh. I'm going to do it by faith, total confidence and trust that God will use me in some special way. All right, you need a little breather here, don't you? You got to watch me, man. I'm telling you, when I get wound up, it's hard for me to slow down. But I know, you know, Lord, he's amped up so much. Please let him slow down for just a minute. So I'm going to slow down here for a little bit. Okay. You know, if I would have been Joshua, I would have said, Lord, why can't we march around the wall 4 or 5 times today? You know, so, but I'm not Joshua, of course. But I can be like him if I behave myself, can't I? About 6 years ago, down the hallway there, 4 other people met with me. And we started talking about trying to have a new ministry here. How that God could change the culture of our church in some way. And so we made a determination that we would try to start this new ministry called Celebrate Recovery. Yes. And today, Celebrate Recovery is ministering to hundreds of people every week. And they keep coming. If you want to meet some visitors, you want to know what a visitor looks like. You ever seen a visitor up close lately? So, you may not. You know, you live in your little world there. You may not know what a visitor looks like. I want to encourage you to come to Celebrate Recovery. Every week we have 6, 8, 10 visitors that have never been here before. I'm telling you, God is at work. Last week there were 142 in Celebrate Recovery. 22 children. This ministry, in one sense of the word, is miracle-like. And we are trying to get ready to carry this message to Kazakhstan here in September. By the grace of God, God has allowed me to team with Pastor Larry and to go to Kazakhstan and teach a group of young pastors about pastoral counseling. I feel bad for those boys. You need to pray for them. When I get in that room with those guys, even if they don't understand English, and even though I don't know how to speak Russian, I know how to say CR. And they're going to hear about CR. They're going to hear about Celebrate Recovery, because I've learned through the passage of time, through trial and error, that the best counseling that any pastor can do is simply say to somebody that's got an unresolved hurt, hang up, or habit, you need to go see Pastor Gerald and get involved in CR. And so we're excited about that. And I want you to pray for us that somehow, some way that we can carry this message to others. You see, friends, what's happening here in the midst of this I got to watch my time. I still got a lot more stuff to cover here. But what happens, see, when you work the steps in CR, when you take these progressive actions in CR, you have a spiritual experience in there about step number four after you do your inventory. The Holy Spirit gets a hold of you. And all of a sudden, there's a big remodel that takes place inside. And when that remodel takes place inside, there is something supernatural that takes place. And that is, you can't stop talking about it to other people. And that's step number 12. Having had a spiritual experience as a result of these steps, we try to carry the message to others. And friends, by the providence of God, somehow or another, when we've left the sofa down in the office, and this in September, we're going to crawl on a plane and go to Beijing and then over into Kazakhstan and be able to carry the message over there as well. I would have never dreamed that when I was working the steps that somehow or another I would wind up way out yonder telling the message about how Christ is the higher power. Amen. Okay. Another opportunity also may be opening up. Are you ready for this? And that's in Mongolia. I'm opening dialogue with World Venture about taking the message of Christ as expressed in CR to the vast world of Mongolia. Pray for me about this. They want somebody to go over there for 2 months in Mongolia and start CR. You know what? I think I can do it. And I'm asking you to pray that somehow that God will use this unique man in a unique way to carry the message even into Mongolia. Because by contrast, my friends, in this humanistic, increasingly godless society, we can stand by faith as a body of believers carrying within our bosom the grand theme, and that is, with God, nothing is impossible. Amen? All right. Now it's time for you to write on your piece of paper or write in your mind, and that is, what wall does God want to break down in your life this morning? There's some kind of a wall there that's keeping you from being all that you know that God wants you to be. So I want to encourage you to just write down a word. Whatever that word is, it's a very private matter between you and God. What wall needs to come down? And so now let's talk about Rahab for a minute. Rahab is a unique lady. And so we've talked about discovering faith in the natural world. Now we're going to talk about discovering faith in the social world. A couple of scriptures here, Joshua 2:1. And they went and came into the house of a prostitute whose name was Rahab. And then over in Hebrews 11:30 there it says, by faith Rahab the prostitute escaped the destruction of the disobedience. This morning, in discovering or broadening a greater understanding about your unique world of faith, it calls upon us to look at our relationships more deeply. And the story of Rahab's faith affords us the opportunity to do that. Because if you're a child of God, you're going to be involved in relationships. And so what do we see here? Well, we saw with Joshua the fallen walls, but now we see the fallen woman. And so let's talk about the fallen woman for a moment. Rahab's story can be summed up in three simple ways. And I'll share those with you at this time. First of all, she was unique in her ability to trust. That's your next fill in the blank there. After sending the king's men on a wild goose chase, she goes up to the roof and talks with the spies. And her conversation really can be summed up in what's said in Joshua chapter 2 and verse number 9. And she says, I know the Lord is handing the land over to you. In the face of adversity, this fallen woman demonstrated her unique faith. She knew that her home and that her city and the surrounding countryside were now in the hands of God. She realized that it was in her best interest to place herself in God's hands as well. She learned to trust. And my friends, this is the clarion call for each and every one of us here this morning. And that is, in whom will you trust? The book of Proverbs exhorts us well there in chapter 29 and verse number 25, where it says, the fear of man will prove to be a snare. But whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. My friends, this morning, Rahab neither trust in the city council of Jericho. Can you imagine how those guys felt? Nor in her clients from whom she made her living. Rahab needed a friend. She needed a real friend in her life. She needed a new relationship that was totally different than the present one. You see, my friends, Rahab was ready for a new life. It was a life of faith in God. And this morning, there's something God's doing here in this room. He's doing the same thing in this room that He did 1400 years before Christ came. And that is, He's asking for your heart. He asked Rahab for her heart. And she gave it to Him. And friends, today that's what God is asking you. He's asking you, are you willing to give your heart to God? So she was a woman of trust. But my friends, she was unique also in regards to her territory. That's your next fill in the blank there. She lived on two edges, you see. She lived on the edge of society. And she lived on the edge of town. She was a Canaanite prostitute. She lived in the wall on the edge of the city. We might say it was a very edgy place. My friends, I say to you this morning, and that is, a unique life of faith is an edgy place. It's a place where one lifestyle ends and another one begins. We're there now. We're there right here in this room. And I ask you, are you afraid of the edge? You can replace your fear of the edge with faith. And I want to encourage you this morning as the Spirit of God dealing with your heart. And that is, grasp it. Grasp it now. Because you're in the process of discovering and expanding your unique profile. You see, my friend, life on the edge is a unique life of faith. You can be a catalyst for change. The world cries out for somebody to be a catalyst for change as it relates to truth versus error. And I hope and pray to God that you will consider this new change in your life. And then we see one last thing unique about her, and that is, I call it her unique twine. Her unique twine. She had a unique trust in God. She lived in a unique territory. And then she had a unique twine. And so here we see how God used her entwined rope to save the spies and eventually she and her family. The red rope or twine, as you see in this artist's depiction, it's symbolic of something. It's symbolic of deliverance. Visualize the blood over the doorpost when the death angel came through Egypt and said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. You see, my friend, God uses Rahab to show how faith can be applied in a unique way, even the saving of a prostitute. In fact, it is so unique, she is a part of the human bloodline of Christ. I'll read it to you out of Matthew 1. Salmon, the father of Boaz of Rahab, Boaz, the father of Obed by Ruth, Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of David, the king. It goes on and says in verse 6, Christ, our deliverer, came through the lineage of David. Her unique story has much to tell us today. She could have remained silent, but instead she took off her mask. She was missing a human connection of a different sort. And she needed deliverance. God saw her need and came to her in a special way on a special day. He sent the spies to her. And friends, my My friends, today God is offering deliverance for you this morning as well. Deliverance from the plain and deliverance from the ordinary. Deliverance from the routine. And I ask you to rise up and go to Mongolia with me. That's what I'm asking you to do. Will you do it? I never dreamed that when I was born in the little town of Pensacola, Florida, that 69 years later that God would give me this vision that we can take this message to the regions beyond like I never could imagine. I'm glad one day that I rose up and departed Texas for the West. Oh boy, that was a challenge, leaving Wichita Falls. It was 20 degrees below zero. I got to Amarillo, Texas about 11 o'clock that night. It was still 20 degrees below zero. But I kept coming west because I knew God wanted me to do something out west. I parked for a while there in Oregon, and then God says, I want you to go to Washington. And you know what? I'm ready to go wherever God wants me to go. I'm just beginning. 69 and a half. The world's my stage. Show me where you want me to go, God. And I want to challenge you to do that as well. You see, my friends, when you decide that you want God to use you in some unique way, He's going to turn your world upside down. That's what He's going to do. You see, you're very unique. And you're just as important to God as Rahab was and as Joshua was. And so that brings us to our last point this morning, and that is discovering faith in our world. By faith, the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient. Hebrews 11. And this is what I want to call the fallen welcome. The fallen welcome. I ask you this morning, are you ready to welcome God into your life again? It may be that you're so accustomed to the routine and the ordinary things and the plain things of life that in one sense of the word God is really not fully welcome in your life. But I ask you this morning, if you want to be unique for God, to step out and let Him go to work in your life. You see, my friends, we know that we're unique because of a wide variety of things. Externally, our spouses tell us we're unique. And we don't have time to go into that, do we? Our parents told us that we were unique. You can do it, son. You can do it, gal. Go for it. I want to encourage you to do that. Our friends tell us that we're unique. Our colleagues tell us we're unique. Random encounters tell us unique. I was in the hot tub at Gold's Gym the other day. And I worked out and I decided to go sit in the hot tub. I went in there and there's this guy sitting in there. And I thought, okay, I guess it'll be all right. So, I slithered down the stairs and, I just had this funny feeling, about something here. And he started talking to me. And so I wasn't interested in talking to him. I just wanted to sit in the hot tub 5 minutes and get out of there. So we wanted to start talking about working out like that. And he said, well, I just noticed when you got in the hot tub that you are so slender looking. I thought, I'm unique. And he must think I'm really unique, So I got out of there. That's what, So sometimes we get things from the external that we're not totally ready for. But, internally I'm unique. I'm a very distinct individual. There's only one Gerald. God would never make two of me. It'd be bad for the world, But you're unique too. You're distinctive. And you need to look at yourself that way. You need to tell yourself every once in a while, I love myself. It's okay. What does the Bible say? Love your neighbor what? As yourself. You need to love yourself. God loves you. You're made in the image of God. It's okay to love yourself because God loves you. God wants to communicate uniqueness to each and every one of us. He wants to supply us with a unique energy source, the Holy Spirit. He wants to bond us to his son through a unique expression of personal faith in him. You see, my friends, the victories of faith are often won by means and principles that seem utterly foolish and inadequate for the faithless world. God can and will confine the mighty with weak things of the world. The sounding of ram's horns and the shout of people hardly seems adequate as a military strategy for capturing a town. But it was. The foolishness of preaching compared to the ram's horns hardly seems adequate for the transformation of the soul. But it is. God's word says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not human weapons, but are made powerful by God for tearing down strongholds." We tear down arguments and every arrogant obstacle that is raised up against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to make it obey Christ. Oh, my friends, what will God give you if you step up to the challenge of pursuing a unique faith of life? And I close with sharing with you this morning some things that He'll give you. First of all, He will give you victories like you've never seen before. And He will take away your fear and anxiety, and He'll give you peace. And He'll take away every doubt and misgiving, and He'll give you assurance. And He will take away weakness and frailty, and He'll give you strength. I challenge you this morning to grasp with your mind the firm persuasion that God will do everything He has promised for us in Jesus Christ. A unique faith gives us a glimpse and a foretaste of eternal things. And I challenge you this morning to set the seal in your life that God is true. May we pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for the message of Jericho. And that tremendous manifestation of supernatural power. We thank You, Father, for Rahab and how her life was changed. And we thank You now, Lord, for our life and how that You're ready to change us and use us in a unique way. Thank You, Father, for these that listen so well. Bless us now as we continue to worship You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we want to prepare to worship God in communion.